Tuesday, my man, Jay Williams from Jay Will, Keyshawn, and Max. I have changed the title of that show. Max is on the show tomorrow, so we will not change the name of the show. I'll keep it the same. At Real Jay Williams on Twitter. All right, I want to talk hoops. You guys spent all day talking about offensive lines and where Aaron Rodgers is going to go.
I can't talk about Brock Purdy one more time. I can't do it.
He's got a baseball injury. We could just talk about baseball and Brock Purdy because he's going to go in for Tommy John surgery. Although I guess Ben Roethlisberger had that a couple of years ago, so it's a football. They're stealing everything. They stole Thursday nights from college football, and now they're stealing baseball injuries as well.
And now they're playing overseas in London for multiple games a year.
Five? Well, three in London and three in England and two in Germany now. And
there you go.
It's ridiculous. All right, let me ask you this question. I was watching. My son is a huge hoops fan. We're watching the Celtics and the Lakers on Saturday night. And for the life of me, I can't figure out how that was not a foul on LeBron James. Or against LeBron James. He was going in for a layup. He does not miss the rim on a layup very often. How do they not call that foul? Does LeBron just not get calls?
Well, here's on the call specifically, right? Obviously, everybody, we have time to review it now. Everybody knows it was a foul.
Right.
Here's how, as a basketball player, I know it's a foul right off the bat. It's because when you are shooting a layup, the ball always ends up off your fingertips. The ball doesn't pop up off your palm. The only way the ball pops up off your palm is if your arm is hit. Now, you have a ref on the baseline, and you have a ref on the sideline. I have no idea how that call is being missed. But here's one of the things that bothers me. I know that LeBron, you know, for the most part, has been known via the internet, you know, to complain about different things. And for a guy with his size and his frame, he's going to get hit a lot more, and it's not going to be called because he can play through contact. But one of the things that started to bother me about the whole situation, it really ignites a fire for me, is that, you know, all I hear every single year as it relates to how we cover the NBA is that the regular season isn't exciting. And how could it be exciting if it's not exciting and meaningful for the players? So here I see LeBron James trending for being, you know, very dramatic or acting like a three-year-old. Or I hear people online saying, I wouldn't even react if my dog were killed that way. Things of that sort.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there saying, well, wow, okay, well, here's a guy who's 38, 39 years old who is single-handedly keeping his team in playoff contention, right, without AD, with Russ essentially not playing the best version of his foul play, you know, and they're trying to make trades, and he's in this historic rivalry between the Celtics and the Lakers, and every game matters, and we're going to chastise him for actually caring or being passionate because now he didn't get the call and he's being dramatic. I'm dramatic too when I'm trying to win games each and every single night, and I need to drop 30 to 45 points in order to keep my team in contention. Like, maybe we should actually have appreciation for LeBron and just stop finding things online to complain about or to be angry about, because that seems to be the only thing we talk about as it relates to LeBron James.
First of all, I could not agree more. We spend way too much time on Twitter. Do you think the fact, I mean, we everybody knows that he got hacked. By the way, maybe it's just my cynicism, but the NBA referees union or whatever, when they released that statement, I thought that was so condescending. They're gutted? They're not gutted. Will they please stop it with the, just, we apologize. We missed the call, right? First of all, they don't have to say anything because the world knows they missed the call. I thought that was, you know, today in BS statement history. Is LeBron
also
a flopper, though?
I was going to tell you, like, you know, C.J. McCollum, and I have all the respect in the world for C.J. I think he is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
His position with the Players Association, what he's been able to do down in New Orleans. But, like, now we're going to start the conversation around fining refs. How is that going to make it better? If you're a referee, you're telling me you're in a very dynamic, offensive game that's being physical, that now because there's fines at stake, that's going to make you more relaxed to call fouls?
No.
That's going to put added on pressure.
Yeah.
So it's not like we ask the players, hey, your performance was bad in this game, CJ. Not since your performance was bad, we're going to find you down the stretch. No, we don't do that to the players, and now we're going to do it to refs. I would like to hear post-game press conferences from refs. Because for me, at the end of that game, I actually want to talk to the ref and hear, what did you see at that particular moment? And maybe answer two or three calls that maybe you thought were questionable calls, or here's my reasoning for why we made these calls. I'd much rather hear that as a post-game interview than hear LeBron James complain about refereeing or hearing somebody else talk. I'd much rather talk to the refs and have sideline reporters question the refs on why they made the calls they made.
All right, here's where you and I are going to part on that. First, I think there's way too much conversation about referees. We know referees make mistakes, right? I like a pool reporter. Go to ask the questions. Let the refs state their position on whatever the call is. But, man, we just can't feed... We can't feed the trolls about calls. So having a referee doing a press, I don't want to go there. But I do think that we
need.
No, I do, but I just don't want to feed the trolls. The trolls don't need feeding. Is my overall point about it? We have to minimize that. What I do think is important. And I don't know that any sport really does it. Maybe the NFL does it too, the best. The only thing the NFL does best when it comes to officiating is that they reward the best, right? And maybe college basketball does it too, but I'm not 100% sure they do. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. I think that, like in baseball, seniority plays a role as to who gets postseason assignments as well as performance. It should simply be performance. So if you're no good, then you shouldn't get postseason assignments. And guys who prove to be no good during the course of the year, or they're all good, but not as good as the others, we should know that. I don't know if there should be a referee ranking or not, but we should know that the very best get rewarded, and the guys who aren't as good or women who aren't as good don't.
So, Adam Gold, are you suggesting some kind of public document that articulates whether, a scoring mark for referees?
Like top 25 referees.
Scott Foster is a 93%. You're like, okay, I like that. But that rating may go down when he calls CP3 games. So, it may go down to 40%. So I think it's a moving target. Right. But I know there's something like that internally. I know in MLB it's easier for, umpires as it relates to, black or white missing calls to that part. But I wish there was something that could track, and maybe the NBA already has this, but something that publicly we could follow to track, what the hit rate for these refs are as it relates to whether they're getting things right or wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure there is an internal ranking. I'd love to see it. But you know what? What I would love is we have a players' tribune, right? I would love to see the players in all sports publicly talk about these are the good ones, these are not good ones. Again, knowing that they're all good. It's like the worst player on the PGA Tour is amazing. The worst player in the NBA is amazing.
Amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't understand.
Well, now, according to fans, we call them bums.
I know.
The guy who can barely get out of his seat calls the guy who is part of 0.1% a bum. Shocking to me. But that's the world we live in now.
Yeah. More referee talk for Jay Will. All right. So I'm on a mission, and I want your help. I want college basketball referees to stop killing the game. I want to love college basketball, but they make it hard. They make it hard. I want three things. You can tell me how many of these are good or not. I want continuation in the college game. We're taking away good plays. I want 4 10-minute quarters. This is not about the referees. This is about the way the game is governed, and I don't understand. It's the only sport. The only basketball playing part of our world that is not in four quarters, however long the quarters are. And I want to abolish the block charge. I want to get rid of it.
I hate it.
My unofficial data is that 90% of called charges are wrong. 90%. That number may be higher.
You don't have to get me started, Adam. I am all for increasing the number of possessions in the game. I'm all about making the game faster. I am all about, like, the whole block charge, semicircle, that whole thing is outdated to me. Like, the four quarters, that's where every other style of basketball has already moved to that. The women's game has even moved to that. Mm-hmm. Why haven't the men's game moved to that? And, like, I get really frustrated sometimes because I think that people often say, well, the quality of competition is not the same. I'm like, yeah, but we don't – why do we have different rules? It should be universal rules that are in place. Like, we should follow the same guidelines to the degree that the NBA – like, make it uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if we want the game to be faster and better, like, why wouldn't we do that? And I know that there's different styles and different approaches, and that's what I miss about the college game because you don't really have that as much on the defense – on the defense end as related to the NBA – but I'm all about seeing the pace of the game go up faster and the continuation aspect of the game. I've been saying that for 15, 20 years. If I get hit as my momentum is taking me on my gather to the rim, let me finish it. That's the damn one easily.
I don't understand why that. It's like they hate scoring. Like, we hate points. Yeah. We shouldn't hate points. We should like points. I mean, guys are trying to score. We should allow them to try. Like, it's the old college try.
I appreciate defense. I fall asleep when the games are 35-20. I can't help it. It's not good for ratings.
No.
And I get that there's different fighters with different styles. It's like boxing. I get it. Like, Floyd Mayweather is one of the greatest defensive boxers of all time. I understand that. But he at least gave me flash.
Right.
So, like, you know, I need something as we relate to our sport. There's so much inventory that we have to find a way to market our sport differently. And to me, that always starts with the defensive end. Offensive end, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the year, but I was at one of the worst basketball. Well, I was at the worst. I had great save. Center court seats for the worst game I've ever seen in an NCAA final. Connecticut-Butler in 2011 was a game that set the sport back. I don't even know what the score was, but it was brutal. But I was there for, I think it was Tennessee, Wisconsin. I think it was 1999, maybe the year before you got to Duke, when they played an NCAA tournament game. And I swear the final score was 40-38. And
I'm falling asleep.
I mean, I'm here to watch guys score the basketball. All right, we're going to fix the game. You and me together. We're going to do this.
Done deal. We'll make it happen.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
All right, Adam.